What are numismatic coins? Have you ever heard of numismatic coins? These are coins that are 1933 and older. You need to understand this because most people today don't understand what is real money. America is entering into a massive national security crisis. Well, actually, we already have. But now part of that national security crisis includes our financial situation. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brannon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. I'm Brannon House. Tonight I want to talk to you about what is happening to our economy. I have been warning for a long time about the great threat of inflation. And many people today are finally waking up to what I've been warning about for several, years. Actually, since the early 90s. In my second book in 1995, I wrote about, the collapse of the U.S. economy. I wrote about inflation. I've been warning about inflation, a hidden tax, the theft of Americans' hard-earned wealth, dollars, savings, private property. And now, today, you can hardly visit a financial website that they're not talking about the I word, inflation. But how do you fight inflation? Do you know what numismatic coins are? Well, you should. Do you know the difference between numismatic coins and bullion? Tonight, I'll explain it to you. All in the context of understanding, how to save yourself from being the victim of inflation more than you would have to be otherwise. Here at Worldview Weekend, we talk a lot about applying a Judeo-Christian worldview to the area of law, science, and economics. Yep. Law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, and national security. Tonight, it's economics. But it's really family. It's really social issues. It's really national security. It's really the issue of the law. I mean, all of these are in company what we're talking about tonight, because when we talk about inflation and the theft of your private property, that impacts your family. When we talk about inflation and the growth of the government by the expansion of the money supply and growing the government so you can have socialism, we're talking about a national security problem. When we talk about the inability to maintain our national defense and the purpose of government, security and protection, because we're spending the bulk of our budget on entitlement programs, that's a national security issue. When we talk about stealing, that's an issue of the law. So you see, so many of these issues of law, family, national security, they all, religion, the Bible has a lot to say about stealing, doesn't it? And coveting and private contract. So when we talk about worldview issues, many of them, the disciplines of how we apply a worldview, they all can come about through the issue of understanding the issue of economics. So I want to explain to you tonight some basic things. A lot of people ask me about precious metals, particularly as we see precious metals here in middle of June, June 18th, 2021. As we see precious metals, gold flirting with $2,000 coming up, going back down, but flirting around that range of $2,000 an ounce. We see silver around $28 an ounce. We have some economic guys that are talking about $4,000 an ounce gold over the next few years. A lot of people say, I just don't know what to do, Brannon. I don't understand numismatic. I don't understand what MS61, MS62, MS63, these ratings on these coins. What does all that mean? I remember when I was starting out in the early 90s and I was purchasing my first set of gold coins in my early 90s. It was the early 90s. I was in my 20s. And I remember thinking, how would I ever understand it? So if you don't understand all this, I've been there. Tonight, I want to help you understand it. But first, I want to explain a little bit of the problem, and then we'll look at what I believe is a solution. Now, I don't give economic advice. I give economic opinion. I can't give you legally economic advice, nor would I, because I don't know your individual situation. Everybody's situation is different. But I can give you my economic opinion, I can give you my worldview thoughts, and I can obviously give you some education. And at the end of the day, knowledge is the acquisition of truth. Wisdom is the application of truth. So let me give you some knowledge and then hope and pray that you have the wisdom to apply it. Look at this article right here. Fox Business. Upstate New York restaurant owner on chicken shortage. Wings costs skyrocketed nearly 100%. Now look at the sub-headline. Fryer oil has also increased more than 120% this year. Folks, this is inflation. Now, there are many things that cause inflation. The traditional definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods and services. We've talked about that a million times, right? But there are other things that create inflation, not just too many dollars chasing too few goods and services. Well, you could actually have just simply inflation in one area. You could have a shortage of car parts, thus a shortage in cars, then a massive increase in the price of cars. Isn't that happening now? Finding a used car is getting very difficult, and people are paying an awful lot for a used car due to the shortage of used cars. So inflation or price increases can be caused by supply and demand issues. We're also seeing a lot of Americans today being paid to stay at home, being paid not to work. So there is a massive shortage in people that are willing to work. Employers are having a hard time attracting workers. What are they doing? They start offering more money. They start offering more money, hoping to coax those people off the couch and back into the workforce, making them, well, understand that I can pay you more if you come to work than you'll make by sitting on the couch being paid by the government not to work. So now you're competing with the government's giveaway. Now you're competing with the government handout. And for some of them, they're making more money staying at home than they were working. And even if they make about the same or a little less, hey, they're still staying at home, doing whatever they want, being paid not to work. Employers have to try to entice workers. So they offer up higher salaries, hoping some will say, well, I really like to work. I don't want to sit at home all day. I want to have some pride in a job well done and don't want to live at the government standard. I want to go beyond the government standard and succeed. And so, yeah, that salary that they're asking, that's an attractive salary. I'll go work there. Well, as a business owner increases their employment cost, they have to pass that on to the consumer, don't they? So that creates inflation. So there are many things that can cause prices to go up. But traditionally, inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods and services. And we've already seen the government's expanding the money supply or credit big time. Look at this article. Here is CNBC. Rents for single family homes just saw the largest gains in nearly 15 years. Single family rents were up 5.3% year over year in April, rising from a 2.4% increase in April 2020. That is the largest annual gain in nearly 15 years. Look at this article. Now this is Forbes magazine, and this article is from 2014. It's an old article. But it's a great article because I'm going to help you understand inflation, CPI, Consumer Pricing Index. Have you ever wondered how it is the government figures what is the rate of inflation? Well, let me tell you something. The government is lying to you. Shocker. Yep. Your federal government, they lie to you more often than they tell you the truth. That's what governments largely do. And one area they lie to you is in the area of what is the true rate of inflation. They lie to you. Now, here's the question. Why do they lie to you? Why does the government not just honestly tell the American people, here is what the rate of inflation is? I'll tell you why they don't tell you the truth when we go through this article from Forbes magazine. It's titled, "If you want to know the real rate of inflation, don't bother with the CPI. CPI stands for Consumer Pricing Index. The article says, why does the government want low inflation numbers? Well, the CPI, or Consumer Price Index, is tied to the incomes of about, this is back in 2014 article, 80 million Americans, specifically Social Security beneficiaries, food stamp recipients, military and federal civil service retirees and survivors, and children on school lunch programs. The higher the consumer price index, meaning the higher the rate of inflation, the more money the government needs to spend on these income payments to keep pace with the cost of living. However, this same government is about $17 trillion in debt. Well, it's more than that, folks. If the CPI is low, the less money the government needs to spend on cost of living adjustments, something seniors are astutely aware of. So, folks, if they have to keep up with Social Security benefits and school lunch programs and pensions for civil service pensions for the retirees and food stamp recipients, all that, they've got to gauge that to the cost of living, the cost of groceries, the cost of utilities. Well, if they admit that we are seeing probably closer to around 10 or 12% annual inflation, they would have to raise these things for people to maintain the cost of living. They don't want to raise those things. They don't want them to be CPI adjusted. They don't want the rate of inflation to adjust these figures going up for these entitlement programs. So they lie to keep them lower. Also, most politicians in office, whether Republican or Democrat, they also don't want you to know any bad news. So I don't care if we're talking Republicans or Democrats. They will generally lie to the American people so they believe that everything is coming up roses when it's really not. The article goes on to say, the government has a few resources at its disposal to manipulate the consumer price index, or the rate of inflation. First, the Bureau of Labor Statistics operates under a veil of secrecy. The raw data used to calculate the CPI is not available to the public. When I asked why, I was told, so companies can't compare prices. This makes very little sense because companies can easily compare prices with data openly available on the internet. It also makes it impossible to audit their findings. Additionally, listen now, over the past 30 years, your federal government, folks, has changed the way it calculates inflation more than 20 times. These methodological improvements, as they call them, to the CPI are said to give a more accurate measure of consumer prices. However, these changes could also be a convenient way to include or exclude certain products that give favorably low results, but there's no way to know given the lack of transparency. So how is the CPI calculated? The article in Forbes magazine back in 2014 says, although this is not a transparent process, the Bureau of Labor Statistics gives some insight on their website as to how it calculates the consumer price index. The economic assistants track about 80,000 consumer products each month, known as the market basket of goods. However, quote, if the selected item is no longer available, this is according to the government, or if there have been changes in the quality or quantity, for example, eggs sold in a package of 10 when they previously were sold by the dozen, when there's this change in the quality or quantity of the good or services since the last time prices were collected, the economic assistant selects a new item or records the quality change in the current item, end quote. In other words, folks, we are not comparing apples to apples, okay? We're not comparing things consistently. I'll give you an example. I've been told, and again, this changes with the government constantly, but I've been told that if the price of steak goes too high, well, they'll just assume the average family has quit buying steak and has gone to buying chicken. And so that price of chicken is replaced for the much higher price of steak. Now, does that seem like a consistent way to really get at the cost of living? Of course not. It's a great way for the government to push down what is the real cost of living or goods and services or groceries for the average American family. They're playing games. These are fake stats. The real rate of inflation is much higher than you're being told, which means you are being taxed at a much higher rate than you think you are. There is the hidden tax of inflation, which is confiscating your wealth because it's costing you more to live, to buy things, to provide for your family, to pay your utility bill, your health bills, your college bills, your medicine bills, your gas, your clothes. But you see, that's how the government can steal your wealth and grow the size of government. Government needs money to grow, to hire more bureaucrats, to build more government buildings in which to house the bureaucrats so they can manage every aspect of your life, takes money. The government, in order to expand, needs more money. The more money they produce, the more they devalue the currency by putting too much currency into circulation. Back to the original definition of inflation. Too many dollars chasing too few goods and services. Ironically, the Biden administration, as we are here in June of 2021, is greatly expanding our budget, providing and wanting to include trillions of dollars in government handouts, including free college. But it won't be free. You'll be paying for it, not only through taxation, but you'll pay for it even if they don't raise your taxes. You see, they have this new thing that they think they've created called modern monetary theory. As I've told you before, it's not modern. It's just old-fashioned Keynesian economics from John Maynard Keynes. When there's an economic slowdown, the government becomes the primary spender. Just print the money. It's called modern monetary theory. There's no monetary thinking behind it based on common sense. But if you're a socialist, modern monetary theory says we want to give away, quote, free college. People in America say, I don't want more taxes. I don't want to give away free college. I worked hard. I paid for my college, or I paid for my kids' college, or nobody paid for mine. I didn't go to college because I couldn't afford it. So I became a carpenter, or I became a tradesman, or I didn't want to go to college. But so why all of a sudden you're going to give college to for free to people when, you know, I earned it myself or paid for it myself, or I'm still paying on the loan. Still paying on the loan for where I got a loan to pay for it. But now all of a sudden you're going to give it away for free? No, there's no free lunch. That's the old saying, right? Someone's going to pay for it. So the middle class says, no. I can't afford that. I can't afford to go to work and pay more taxes to pay for someone else's kid to go to college. Oh, the government can say, don't worry about it. We're going to go to modern monetary theory. We're just going to print the money. You're still going to pay for it. You're still going to pay for it. Why? Because now you have too many dollars chasing too few goods and services. They've just debased your currency. Now it's going to take more dollars to buy things. It's a hidden tax. You will pay for free college even if they don't raise your taxes. So again, the government needs money to grow, to add more bureaucrats, to give away more entitlements, to buy more votes. And of course, the Democrat Party, because they're for socialism, they're giving away everything they can to attract more votes, right? Socialism is great, said Margaret Thatcher, until you run out of other people's money. So you're going to pay for it. So now we see that inflation is out of control. But you're not being told what is the real rate of inflation because they're not gauging it based on a set basket of goods. They'll even say, well, steak's gotten too expensive. The average family's replaced it with chicken, and they don't factor in the expensive steak. Let's go back to the article. This data is then plugged into a formula along with other factors, including census information and consumer spending patterns. In other words, the consumer price index doesn't measure changes in consumer prices. Rather, it measures the cost of living. Further, the government makes the assumption that consumer spending habits change as economic conditions change, including rising prices. So again, the old, they're going to replace steak with chicken. They assume these kind of things. So if prices rise and consumers substitute products like chicken for steak, the CPI formula could hold a bias that doesn't report it rising, to report rising prices. You know, they didn't report the rising steak because you switched the chicken. Now you're paying for chicken what you used to pay for steak, so it's really no harm, no foul. We'll leave the number. That's how they do it. Not a very accurate way to measure inflation, right? That's exactly right. It's not. Well, look at this. Biden's reckless budget has potential to crush America's economy and trigger massive recession. Here's why. Again, this comes from Fox News. The article says, as expected, Biden's budget includes many of the large government spending programs the White House has been pushing for months, including $115 billion for roads, and bridges, $225 billion for child care subsidies, $174 billion for electric vehicles, and $109 billion for free, look at that in quotes, free community college, among many other items. The total cost of Biden's proposal is an astounding $6 trillion. And according to the White House's own estimates, which are almost certainly too low, the first-year deficit for Biden's budget is $1.8 trillion. If the White House's estimates are accurate, the deficit under Biden's budget would be larger than every other deficit recorded in American history prior to the breakout of the COVID-19 pandemic, with only one exception, 2009, the start of the Great Recession, when the annual deficit also reached $1.8 trillion. Now, again, let's not confuse the annual deficit with the federal debt. The annual deficit is what yearly we fall short. From the money taken in by the government to the money spent is your annual deficit. Take all of your annual federal deficit, add it together, and you have your national debt. Our national debt, when you figure on record and off record, like unfunded liabilities, Social Security, Medicare, etc., we are well over $100 trillion with our federal national debt. Some have placed it at nearly $200 trillion. Either way, we are well over $100 trillion, our federal national deficit. My friends, that is a national security crisis among many. This is how the communists, many of them inside our own governments, are looking to collapse the American currency, the American dollar. This is how our enemies are looking to defeat us, crush our military, the funding of our military, and a strong military to provide peace through strength. This is clearly the goal of the communists inside and outside the United States, foreign and domestic enemies, using economic war. Right now, as we're speaking to you, many of the nations that hate us around the world are looking to destroy the American dollar as the world reserve currency. If the world reserve currency is no longer the U.S. dollar, then all of these dollars that are currently overseas will come rushing back to our shores. And again, now you'll have even more dollars chasing fewer goods and services. When it comes to inflation, you ain't seen nothing yet. Pardon the bad grammar, but it's true. The question is, what can you do about it? We'll get to that in a minute. But what you need to understand is, we are on the verge of a major financial crisis in America, one I've been warning about for decades. And I remember many people mocking me in the 90s when I was then encouraging people to buy gold and silver. If you had bought gold, as I did as a young guy in my mid-20s, around 1993, 94, I bought it at about $300 an ounce. Today, it is worth almost $2,000 an ounce. Now you say you could have taken that same money and put it in a good stock and probably done as well or not better. Maybe that's true. But do you really want to put all your money in the stock market? What if it collapses? Or what if it has a huge correction? Don't you want to be diversified? Of course you do. You'd be diversified into a lot of things. But in an inflationary cycle, you want to be diversified into hard assets. In an environment where the Marxists are taking over and they want to confiscate the private property of people they hate, label them domestic terrorists, you certainly should probably think about having a hard asset you can hide away, as the law allows you to do. Precious metals are indeed hard assets that can give you privacy. Again, no one's saying take 50% of your cash assets and put them into precious metals. You're talking 10, 15%. It varies because everybody's situation is different. But reality is, in the 1993-94 era, I was buying gold at $300 an ounce. Friends were mocking me, laughing. That's crazy. Why would you ever buy gold? They didn't even understand it. Today, it's near $2,000 an ounce. They're not laughing anymore. They missed the boat. But you don't buy gold or silver to make money. People that buy gold and silver to make money are in it for the wrong reasons and, in my opinion, should have never bought it. Gold and silver purchases are not about making money. They are about having a small percentage of your savings, regardless of how big or small that savings account might be. It's about having a percentage of your savings in something that is a hedge against inflation. Again, as the value of the dollar goes down, gold and silver goes up historically. It's not gold and silver really going up, it's the value of the dollar going down. Where do you think the value of the dollar is going if we keep printing trillions and trillions of dollars and expanding the credit? Well, we know where it's going because both Republicans and Democrats have openly said they're willing to go to modern monetary theory. Just print the money. Historically, not too many years ago even, we see in certain countries like Cyprus where people had their accounts shut down for a while. They couldn't get to their money. Those pensioners that had precious metals were able to actually go and secure some groceries. Now people say to me all the time, are you telling me you're going to go to the grocery store and use gold and silver? No, you're not. Perhaps you could in a small town, a small market where you know the farmer or the farmer's market. Sure. At a farmer's market, people be happy to probably take your gold or silver coins in exchange for goods. But here's how it would really work. You have precious metals and you have them safely stored away to weather the storm. The dollar collapses, it is replaced by a new currency, even if it's a digital currency. Now you have weathered the storm. Your gold and silver have shot up. Again, some experts are saying in the next few years, we could see $2,500, $3,000, $3,500, $4,000 an ounce gold. We'll see. But under a collapse of the dollar, gold and silver would go up. Your hedge against that inflation would be in the purchase of your gold and silver that goes up to offset the crash of your other investments, i.e. paper money or stocks or bonds. When things settle down, you will be able to take those precious metals, cash them in to the company in many cases you bought it from. Most of them have a deal. If you buy it from them, they will buy it back from you. You would then get a check when you sell it. You take your check, you put it in the bank. But by doing this, you have had a hedge against inflation because you bought the gold and silver. Historically, you would have bought it at a lower price, sold it at a much higher price, but you would have been in that hard asset of gold and silver versus paper money that is now worthless versus your gold and silver that have drastically gone up. Now, you don't look at it and say, oh, look at all the money I made. That's not why you're doing it. Because reality is, you will not have made money. The cost of things will have drastically increased. So you wouldn't have made money, but you would have preserved your purchasing power. Again, an ounce of gold 100 years ago would buy a really nice suit and a really nice meal. Today, 100 years later, the same gold ounce coin will buy a really nice suit and a really nice meal. But the same dollars in the equivalent value of gold 100 years ago won't do squat 100 years later. Right? That's inflation. That's how the gold is a hedge against inflation. You wouldn't look at it and say, oh, look at all the money I made. No, because you really didn't. The price of the suit and the meal went up. What you would say is, look, I preserve my purchasing power. You see? Gold and silver, I believe, is not about how much money you make, but about how much you preserve your purchasing power. Let's go back to the article. The article says, although very few people in Washington appear to be interested in taking the soaring national debt seriously, there are good reasons to believe that the high levels of debt proposed by Biden could cause a large and potentially sustained economic catastrophe. The only way the federal government could finance the huge amounts of new debt proposed by Biden would be to continue having the Federal Reserve print, quote print, because you also do this through expanding the credit supply, print trillions of new dollars. And by the way, also print would be in print or in quotes because if you give someone a check from the government, they didn't really print the money. They created the money digitally, send the government check to people, they put it in the bank and it becomes a digit and then they use it. So in some cases they are printing money, but in other cases they're just expanding the digits in the bank or the credit, right? So, quote, print trillions of new dollars. This strategy has been used increasingly more by the Fed since the start of the Obama administration to keep the government doors open. There are many problems with creating large amounts of new money, but perhaps the biggest is that it can cause inflation and devaluation of the currency now in circulation. Now, see, that's what we're talking about here. Let me read that again. There are many problems with creating large amounts of new money, but perhaps the biggest is that it can cause inflation and devaluation of the currency now in circulation. So there you have inflation and devaluation at the same time. You have goods and services going up because the devaluation of the dollar. There are too many dollars. There's too many dollars chasing too few goods and services. So you have the increase, the inflation of goods and services, but the debasement, the devaluation of the dollars. Okay? Go back to the article. In other words, the dollars currently in your bank account will become less valuable as the Fed creates more money. Now, let's stop for a minute and let's talk about getting a free, because what I want to do, show that right there first, Logan. That right there is bullion. Do you know the difference between this here, bullion, gold, silver, bullion, that's gold, 1 ounce gold eagles, bullion. There's U.S. silver eagles. That would be considered bullion, 1 ounce silver eagles. Do you know the difference between bullion and this right here? That's numismatic. Do you know the difference? I'm going to explain the difference to you. And I'm also going to tell you about the different gradings. MS63, MS62, 61, these things. I'm going to tell you about those things. So a lot of you are got a lot of questions about gold and silver and how it works and what all these ratings are. I'm going to tell you that. So hold with me. But here's a good place to stop for a minute and tell you, if you would like to get some of this in print, if you want to understand some of this, we have had a relationship with our sponsor, and we've only had a few sponsors over the years. One of them, Swiss America, and since January, MyPillow. These are the only two companies I've ever allowed, really, other than a Bible software company, to be sponsors with us that I can remember. But in the last few several years, it's only been Swiss America, and then since January of 2021, MyPillow. Because we just don't do a lot of this. But one of the sponsors we've had, because I know them, I've done business with them, and I think hundreds, if not thousands, of my radio and TV listeners have done business with them, is Swiss America. I met their CEO at the time, Craig Smith, through my friend, our mutual friend, Michael Reagan. We've been working with them for over 10 years, maybe even closer to 15 now. If you would like to get a free packet of information, no obligation, free packet of information, so you can better understand and get educated on what I'm talking about, to preserve your purchasing power, to get outside the system the government has set up so they can just go to digital currencies and then turn you off when they don't like you anymore. You know, the Bible says that day is coming when you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark. They're going to be able to turn you off. Well, one way is to get outside their system. And you have the privacy with numismatic coins, which I'm going to explain to you the difference between numismatic and bullion in just a minute. But if you want to get the free packet of information, I'm going to give you the phone number. Actually, I'm going to give you the cell phone number of Wes Peters at Swiss America that I've worked with for years. Wes has come to many of our conferences and many of you have met him in person. You can either call him or you can text him. Tell him you want the free packet of information that Brandon mentioned. No obligation. The whole goal here is education, okay? Education, acquisition of knowledge, acquisition of truth. That's knowledge. Acquisition of truth is knowledge. Application of that truth is wisdom. So you've got to get the knowledge so you have the wisdom to know what to do and what is best for you, because everybody's situation is different. We can't give you a template because everybody's in a different situation. So it begins with education. So you can either text him or call him. Wes Peters at 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. Again, area code 602-558-8585. You can call or text. He'll send you that free, no obligation packet of information. Now, let's understand a little basic 101 when it comes to precious metals. Let's go back to our slide. Let's look at bullion. Okay, this here is gold 1 ounce eagles. This would be gold 1 ounce eagles. Okay, now if you were to buy this, say from Swiss America or even from the US Mint, it would come in a little plastic tube like that, probably 20 or 25 in a tube. And that is freshly minted. It might be 2021, it might be 2020, it might be 2019 or 18, 17, 16, 15, doesn't really matter. It's in the last few years. This is what is known as gold bullion, okay? And it is whatever spot price is. Let's say the price of gold today is, I'm guessing off the top of my head, let's say it's around $1,800, okay? Well, you'll pay a little percentage premium, maybe 10% more, 14% more over spot price, because that's how the U.S. Mint makes their money, because you got to get it from the U.S. Mint. So the U.S. Mint's going to have a profit in there. Then the person buying it, the company buying it, has got to have their profit to pay for their building, to pay their salespeople. So you're going to probably pay, you know, depending on the company, 10 or 14% premium over spot. And that's why generally people that buy precious metals should be prepared to sit on those for, I generally say, in my opinion, 5 years. If you're not prepared to sit and hold for 5 years, probably not the thing you should do. If you need to stay more liquid, then don't do it. Some cases, you'll make up your spot price plus the cost of buying it in a few months or a year or two, depending on the price going up or down. But you're going to pay spot price plus a percentage, because they got to buy it from the mint, pay them their profit. The company that you're buying it from has to pay for their employees, their business, their air conditioning, their heat, you know, all those kind of things, right? But this is simply really based on whatever is the spot price of gold. Well, this here is 1 ounce silver eagles. The other was, this here is 1 ounce gold eagles. These are 1 ounce silver eagles. Again, you buy them from the U.S. Mint or someone else. They're going to come in a, usually the silver will come in a green type rubber, plastic type container with these kind of plastic tubes. And you'll have your 1 ounce silver eagles, bullion, if you will, in those. They are whatever the silver spot price is for the day. Let's say it's around $27, $28 right now. Plus, again, the percentage to buy it from the mint and the percentage of the profit for the precious metals company selling it. Now, this is what many people would do. But there's also another option, what is called numismatic. Look at this. But first, before we understand numismatic, which is 1933 and older, we first have to understand how is it graded. Numismatic coins are graded. They have a grading system. Here we have one company that grades. This is known as PCGS, which stands for the Professional Coin Grading Service. Okay, this is one company. There's two big ones. I'll show you both of them. So PCGS is one that grades. And they write on their website, in 1948, Dr. William Sheldon, a renowned numismatist, developed the Sheldon scale, assigning grades from 1 through 70 to coins. The basis of Sheldon's theory was that 70 would be worth 70 times as much as a 1. So in other words, if the coin is in really, really, really bad shape, I mean really bad, it gets a 1. If it is in pristine mint condition, it would be a 70. So again, it is based on the theory that a 70 would be worth 70 times as much as a 1. PCGS built its grading standards upon the Sheldon scale when it introduced the concept of encapsulated third-party grading in 1986. Review the details behind the PCGS grading standard through our visual guide below or the classic table view. All right? Now, here's another company that grades coins. This is NGC. These are probably two of the biggest. NGC stands for Numismatic Guarantee Corporation. Now, both of these companies, what they do is they grade numismatic coins, okay? So we're not talking about your freshly minted gold or silver now. We're talking about anything 1933 or older. Now, why 1933? Because FDR recalled gold, remember? And it was a penalty if you got caught with it. But a lot of people said, go pound sand, and they held on to it, which is why we have it around today. Plus, it floating around in other countries coming over here back to the U.S. So anything 1933 or older is considered numismatic or a collectible, okay? And when you buy it at the rating of around MS60, MS61, 62, 63, you'll pay a little premium, not much, but you'll pay a little premium on the added to the spot price, right? Now, why is that valuable for people? Well, in some cases, it's valuable because as there is only a limited supply of 1933 and older, because there's a limited supply, that value of being an antique or a collectible or a rare coin goes up. So as more people want the privacy, and under federal law, as I understand it, there is no recording, there's no reporting. There's no reporting mandate when someone buys 1933 or older, numismatic. So some people want the privacy. So they will buy the older to have the privacy, but they'll buy the older also because they can make money, they believe, not only in the spot price. So when the price of gold goes up, their numismatic coin goes up in spot price value, but they believe they can make money on the antique value. So if a lot of people say, hey, you know what? I don't trust this government. I don't like confiscation. I don't like socialism and Marxism. I would like to take some of my wealth off being a target. And I would like to have the privacy of my own savings and what I own. It's my business, right? So they buy the older because it's not by law. It has to be reported. It's up. But now when you sell it, I highly recommend you tell your accountant and you pay your taxes, right? But it's private because that's the numismatic. So as more people rush into numismatic to have privacy, the price can go up because there's not a lot of it because it's 1933 and older. That makes the rarity of the spot price of the antique price go up. So some investors believe they can make more not only on the spot price going up, but on the price of the rarity of the coin. Also, numismatic tends historically to go down slower than spot price. So if spot price were to crash, spot price will crash before numismatic. Numismatic will go down much slower, giving some people the chance to want to liquidate to get out. But numismatic oftentimes goes up slower than spot price. Spot price shoots up, numismatic climbs a little slower. So there are some give and take. You need to be educated on this. Many people do a portfolio that is a little bit of bullion, 1 ounce gold eagles, 1 ounce silver eagles, and numismatic. I personally do not recommend, my personal opinion, anything above spot grading standard of MS64. MS63, probably where you want to stop. MS60, 61, 62. The higher you go, the higher the premium, and you get much above MS63, I think you're starting to get into rare art. I mean, there are people that buy coins. I saw a coin recently that was one coin in one of these plastic cases, like you see here on the screen. It was in one of these plastic cases. It was graded. It was the authentication of it. You know, it was authorized and validated, the authenticity of it. So it was in one of these cases, one coin. It had a rating of MS70. That's pristine. That's mint condition. That's the best you can be. And it's in one coin went for over $4 million. Now, this is the equivalent of buying rare art, okay? And I can see where someone with a lot of great wealth who wants to hide away more wealth and have privacy would do this. But you're in the collecting art realm now. The average person, in my opinion, would be good in the MS60, 61, 62, MS63 range of the quality of the coin. Are you keeping up? But of course, you can get all this information with your free packet of information when you call Swiss. But here's the second grading company known as Numismatic Guarantee Corporation. Now, let's look at the various ways coins are graded. Strike type. MS, that's what we've been talking about. The MS, like MS61, MS62, MS63, the MS stands for mint state. Coins struck in the same format as circulation issues. Applies to grades 60 to 70, okay? Then you have PF, that's proof, coin struck in a special format for collectors. So you hear the commercial, get your proof coins, that would be it. And then SP, specimen, a hybrid mix between mint state and proof. But let's look at the numeric grades, okay? Well, you have MS64, average or better strike with several obvious marks or hairlines and other minuscule imperfections. Then you have the MS65, well struck with moderate marks or hairlines. 66, very well struck with minimal marks and hairlines. 67, sharply struck with only a few imperfections. Now, when you start getting in this 64, 65 range and up, you're going to start basically buying the equivalent of rare art, in my opinion. 67, sharply struck with only a few imperfections. 68, very sharply struck with only minuscule imperfections. 69, a fully struck coin with nearly imperceivable imperfections. And then 70, a coin with no post-production imperfections at 5x magnification. What do you mean? A guy is literally taking an eyeglass and he's examining the coin. And both of these companies I've mentioned to you have experts that are trained in this, and they grade them, and then they put that mark on them. Okay? Go back to that picture right there. You can see that. You see that? What is that? If you look at that coin to the right, that's 1865. That's a $20 piece, okay? And it's got a rating on it of PF 66, okay? What is PF? Proof. Coin struck in a special format or collectors. Let me show you something else. Let's go to this. Here is a 1900, okay? That's the year 1900. That's a $10 piece. That's a $10 Liberty. $10 Liberty. Notice the rating. That's an MS63. Now, this was graded by NGC, one of those companies we looked at. If you were to call NGC, this grading company, and by the way, it comes in a plastic kit. You can't, if you broke that kit, you'd tear it up. So once it's been rated and put in that plastic kit, you can't open that without tearing it up. That's the whole point. You're sealing it so it's preserved in that case that's supposed to be a tamper-free case, so you know that it's not been tampered with since it was given its hologram and its mark and its rating. And if you were to call, let's say you own that. Let's say you went to a store and you bought that and you saw that NGC symbol on there. You could call, ironically, you could actually call, or reportedly you can call. I've done it before, actually. You call the NGC and you can go to the right department and you say, I want to ask you what am I holding? And you give them that number right there, 355-090-010. They can tell you, without you giving them, saying anything more than that, they would tell you, oh, you're holding a 1900 $10 Liberty, and the grading on it is MS63. This coin's registered. Now, they don't know who owns it. There's no reporting requirement. They don't know who owns it. They just know that this coin's been registered. It could have been sold 20, 30, 40, 100 times since they gave it that rating. It's passed through the market. One guy got it, hold it for a year, sold it. Maybe he got it, sold it the next week. Or maybe he sold it 5 years ago to someone else, and they sold it. They don't know who. The thing had been sold no telling how many times. They don't know who owns it. They just know when you give them that number, it's in their system, and it's verified that it is what it is. So this is how, again, you have some protection for the older coins. But you notice right away it's giving you that MS63 rating. All right, so let's go back. What is MS63? This is slightly weak or average strike with moderate abrasions and hairlines of varying sizes. Now, I am more comfortable thinking that people should be in the MS60, 61, 62, 63 range. Because again, much above that, you're starting to get into that rare art collection. This range of 60 to 63, I believe, personally, my opinion, is where you could still have the privacy of the numismatic, have the spot price, the privacy, plus the ability to have something that is rare, and thus the rarity cost or the antique cost goes up too. So again, you can make money, in my opinion, two ways, the spot price and the rarity price. Now, I've had some coins that I bought in the 90s, early 90s, mid-90s, and I bought them and the price, as I said, went way on up. So, because I held them so long, right? But the antique price or the premium also went up big time. I'm talking you maybe paid $30 premium to buy that coin at the time. But over the course of 10, 15 years, those coins became so valuable and rare because so many more people want to rush into there and have that privacy that now the premium on the coin could be $100. It could be $200 premium. So some people like it because they're going to hold it for a long time. They believe that it provides an opportunity to make money on the spot price and also the premium price going up. Okay? That's what you like to see. But in reality, you really would not. Because if 10% of your assets are in precious metals and precious metals go really high, you're like, woo, my portfolio is doing really good. But to the detriment of 90% of your portfolio, because you put 10% of your net worth or your assets into precious metals or your available cash you put into precious metals, well, that means probably 90% of the rest of your portfolio is not doing so good. So you put it away, you buy it and you put it away, and you hope that you don't ever even have to think about it anymore. That it's something you pass on to your kids and grandkids, okay? Because it's excess. It's excess money or savings that you set aside, all right? So you put it away, you lock it away, and you don't even think about it anymore, and you don't sweat it. Because it's a wealth insurance. And it's wealth insurance that you've put away, it's private, it's off the radar, and it's taken off some target from you. This is all legal, it's how the laws are written, and again, you can ask Swiss America about it, but you put it away and you don't think about it. Now, when I bought precious metals for the first time in about 93, 94, at $300 an ounce, then it dropped under George H. Bush. From 300, 350 an ounce, it dropped down in the 200 and something range, I think, if I remember correctly. I didn't sweat it. I didn't go, oh no, look how much I've lost. I didn't need it at the time. I didn't care. If you're not a seller, what do you care? It's like your house goes up in value. Well, that's nice, but you're not going to really realize it until you sell it, or your house drops in value. You're like, I don't really care. I got to have somewhere to live. I like my house. I plan on living here for another 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Why do I care if it went down? You don't realize it until you sell it. So nobody really cares if it goes down if you're not a seller. It's not until you're a seller do you care if the price went down. And I wasn't a seller. So when the price dropped from the Clinton administration to the George W. Bush administration, I didn't sweat it. I didn't care. I wasn't a seller at the time, right? So you put it away. You don't think about it. It's wealth insurance. But this is why some people like the numismatic, because they can then make the privacy as well as the spot price plus the antique price. So MS63 is slightly weak or average strike with moderate abrasions and hairlines of varying size. 62, slightly weak or average strike with no trace or wear of wear, more or large abrasions than an MS/PF63. 61, an MS61, weak or average strike with no trace of wear, more marks and or multiple large abrasions. MS60, weak or average strike with no trace of wear, numerous abrasions, hairlines, and or large marks. Now, by the way, you can also buy numismatic that really isn't rated. And you get it in one of those tubes. And it's numismatic, but it doesn't hit the rating chart, and it's just in a tube, okay? Because it's not worth rating it and putting it in one of those cases because it falls beneath. But it's still numismatic. You're still getting it at spot price plus a little premium. You can do that also. But I'm trying to explain to you some of these basic things because a lot of people ask me about this. All right, so here's that coin I showed you. Okay, it's a $1,900, $10 Liberty, MS63. All right, here's a 1876. This is a $20 Liberty. A $20 Liberty minted in 1876. That's really beautiful, isn't it? You can see 1876 right on the coin. It's an MS61. So what is an MS61? Well, we go back up to our rating. Weak or average strike with no trace of wear, more marked and or multiple large abrasions, all right? So it's an MS61. Now again, someone has looked at it under a magnifier and rated it and graded it, who's qualified to do that, and these are the two companies that are probably two of the largest that we're talking about here. And it comes in this plastic case, and you put it away, and you know what you got. It's been verified, okay? Now, this is just a little education to help you understand what is the difference between bullion, freshly minted gold or silver coins, like silver eagles or gold eagles, versus numismatic, and then the rating on that. But again, my opinion is that if you got numismatic, you would stay in the 60, 61, 62, 63 range. You start going up, you're going to pay more, and now you're kind of getting into collecting something like rare art. But everybody has their own initiatives and agenda, and not everybody's plan is the same. But what I've just done for you, folks, is something nobody did for me when I was in my early 20s. I wish I could have watched a video or a TV show that would explain what I just explained to you. And I'm doing this for you because many of you have asked, what does all that mean? I want to be educated. Well, you should want to be educated because we're going to go into a time and a period where those who have prepared accordingly will be better off than those who have not. Now, as a Christian, I don't put my trust and hope in chariots or horses, as the Bible says. We trust in the Lord our God. I don't put my trust in money. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. But the Bible has an awful lot to say about wealth, money, saving, debt, and spending, and investing. And it's important for us to apply a biblical worldview to the area of money or economics. And if you want people to be able to avoid being cheated, stolen from, maintain their private property, well, then you would obviously educate people on what's going on economically, because inflation is a hidden tax. It's theft. The government is involved in theft. They are outside the U.S. Constitution. They have turned the money away from the U.S. Congress as called for by the U.S. Constitution. And the Congress, through the 1913 Federal Reserve Act, gave the printing of money to the Federal Reserve. This should have never happened. Now we are outside of a constitutional form of money. Our money is not a constitutional form of money. And then when Nixon finally finished closing off the gold window in its entirety, the government could print all the money it wanted. It could print money to that up to that point as well, but it really went nuts after he closed the gold window, Nixon. So now here I sit trying to explain to people how to stop yourself from being a victim of someone stealing your hard-earned money. And indeed, I think that's a pretty noble thing to do, whether it's me teaching you or you turning around and teaching someone else. This is very important because we all have to live in this world and buy things to sustain our life. And if you're wanting to try to preserve some of your wealth, and your wealth is subjective, meaning if it's $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000, it's still your savings. It's still part of your wealth. Some have more than others. But the bottom line is, this is one way people can be diversified. But I don't give financial opinion. I give financial advice. It's important for you to do your own due diligence and homework. Okay? But I am explaining to you, from my financial opinion, what I have learned over the years, and I hope it helps you. But one of the things I think you should do is get the free packet of information from my friend Wes Peters. He's a former Marine, and you can call his cell phone or you can text him on his cell, and he works directly with a ton of our Worldview Weekend WVW Broadcast Network listeners, and we have done work with him for over 10 years, probably closer to 15 now. And you can call him for the free packet of information, no obligation. You can text him if that's what you prefer to do. Just say, hey, Wes, I want the free packet of information. I heard about it from Brandon. You can call or text him. Give him your address when you call or text, obviously. But when you text, give him your address, obviously. 602-558-8585. 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. What's very interesting, like I said at the beginning of the program, I've been talking about Keynesian economics, John Maynard Keynes, who said, he was a Fabian socialist, Fabian socialism, they want socialism by evolution, not revolution over time. John Maynard Keynes said we can steal the majority of the people's wealth by a continuous process of inflation, and not one man in a million will know what we're doing. Well, apparently people are catching on. Because even though I've been talking about inflation since the early 90s and writing about it extensively in my second book in 95, well, now I'm seeing more and more and more articles about inflation and about a massive financial crisis, because what our government, particularly now under the Biden administration, but we expanded the money supply under Trump, let's make no mistake, Republican or Democrats, they're all doing it. But let me tell you something, Obama went to town, but Biden, he is really going to go to town. because I think they desire to collapse the economy deliberately so they can go to the global Great Reset. I believe they are trying deliberately to entice the American people to buy into socialism, paying them not to work, to collapse the American businesses, to collapse the American dollar, so that they can then go to a global system, digital currency, global or regional currency. This is all being done on purpose. And those that are doing it in part are the ones expanding our money supply, providing the credit. Then we pay them massive amounts of interest. They take the interest payments. And what do many of those central banks do? They take that money. They don't sit on it because they know it's becoming worthless. They know it's going to be worth less. They go and then buy, many of the central banks, gold, 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 gold. Russia, Iran, China, the central banks of the world, the International Monetary Fund, shockingly, is one of the biggest gold holders. Why? They all know what's coming. And much of it's being done on purpose so they can have more control, more power with a digital currency. And precious metals is one way, in my opinion, to get outside their system, to have some independence, and legally to have some privacy of what is your property that you've put away. So again, for the free packet of information, you just simply call 602-558-8585. You can also text Wes at that number. Just say, hey, send me the free packet. I want to get up to speed on this. I would urge you to get a notepad. Write down all your questions as you go through that material. And then get all your questions answered before you do anything. Because what you do at the end is your responsibility. And these guys, they need to do what you want to do. They're there to advise you. But at the end of the day, you need to do what you want to do based on your own homework and due diligence. Whether that's all numismatic, whether that's all freshly minted gold eagles or silver eagles, or whether it's a portfolio that's mixed. That's your final decision. They're there to give you education. I think it starts with the free packet of information at 602-558-8585. Call or text 602-558-8585. All right. Now, if you appreciate what we're doing here and the education we seek to bring, it takes time to build these PowerPoints. It takes time to put all this together and the streaming and the bandwidth and everything. If you appreciate it, don't forget, you can make a tax-deductible contribution at wvwfoundation.com. wvwfoundation.com. You can also use our mailing address, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Okay? You also can support us by going to MyPillow.com, use the promo code WVW. Go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code WVW. You'll save up to 66% on any of the 110 products that Mike Lindell has there, and he'll give a generous portion of each purchase back to WVW Broadcast Network. So there are two ways right there you can support what we're doing and the education we're offering. You can make a tax-deductible contribution at wvwfoundation.com. Use our mailing address. If you'd like to call and give over the phone during normal business hours, the number is 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. And the other way you can support us is by going right now to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WVW. Save up to 66%. And a generous portion of each purchase comes back to support WVW Broadcast Network. All right, we're seeking to apply a biblical worldview to law, science, economics. We did that tonight, I think, by helping you understand the money system, how it works. And by the way, the Bible mentions wealth. Silver, gold, land, houses, and cattle. That's how the Bible describes wealth. Silver, gold, land, houses, cattle. So we're trying to apply a biblical worldview in understanding the issue of gold and silver, precious metal, hard assets. Also, those who desire to steal from you, the government and its socialism, theft. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, you have a right to private contract. So again, all of this fits into our discussion tonight as we apply a biblical worldview to economics. Well, thanks so much for watching. I hope tonight has been a service to you, a public service of WVW-TV, and educated you on this very important topic. We look forward to bringing you more WVW-TV economic updates. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.